72 degrees. I'm Morgan Cunningham, WTIC 1080 News. Let's start in Western Connecticut, where FEMA's been going around and touring damaging areas from the flooding that happened earlier this month. They were mostly in Oxford last week, and they're going to spend more time in Southbury this coming week. The state is continuing its partnership with them to continue to figure out just what kind of help is needed from the federal government to help businesses and towns and homeowners also recover from all of the damage brought on 2 weeks ago. And another storm-related update, it looks like Oxford is targeting this coming Thursday as the day when students are going to return to school in the district. The school's opening was postponed from August 28th because there was too much damage from the floods, particularly roads, earlier this month. So their concerns about safety led them to close the school, but it does appear as if it will be opening later next week. The Israeli military says it's killed two Palestinians in separate incidents with suspected car bombs in the occupied West Bank.
In one incident, Israeli soldiers shot dead the driver of a car who they said opened fire at them after his car exploded at a petrol station. In the other, troops killed a Palestinian who'd driven his car at the entrance to an Israeli settlement. They come after Israel mounted a major military operation in the West Bank earlier this week.
BBC correspondent Roy Sanhasty. A man at former President Donald Trump's rally in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, stormed into the press area as the former president spoke Friday, but was surrounded by police and sheriff's deputies and eventually subdued with a taser. The altercation came moments after Trump criticized major media outlets for what he said was unfavorable coverage. Getting away this holiday weekend won't cost you as much at the pump. Gas prices are trending lower, according to AAA. The Motor Club pegs the average gallon of regular in Connecticut at $3.37. That's a little bit higher than the national average of $3.34. But in Connecticut, that average is still down a penny in the last day, a nickel in the last week, and 43 cents down from where it was a year ago. And as far as weather is concerned, we're expecting some good weather this holiday weekend. We're going to start off with Andrew Orison, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service, as you take to the skies or the roads.
Behind that front, though, we're going to have cooler high pressure dropping down across the upper Midwest. It's going to be a very nice Labor Day weekend, really, especially for Sunday and Monday across the upper Midwest and the Great Lakes region.
We'll have the forecast in a moment, but in Connecticut, generally, we can expect some humid conditions both today and tomorrow. Less humidity on Monday, so that's a good thing. Sunshine will be out in full force. Daytime temps the next 3 days will average in the mid-70s to mid-80s. Again, a look at our forecast in a moment. First, though, the city that bought tens of millions of dollars in medical debts owed to local hospitals by some low-income residents. Just what did they do with it? Correspondent Christopher Cruz tells us.
They forgave it. All of it. Washington, D.C. bought almost $42 million in debt for less than $225,000. City officials said that isn't much, considering the district has a $20 billion budget. The money comes from surplus funds from last year's budget. Almost 62,000 people who live in the nation's capital will be getting letters that many may find hard to believe. Their debts are paid, and their credit will likely improve. A nonprofit called Undo Medical Debt worked with the city to make the debt cancellation happen. It helps cities and states across the country buy debt and cancel it. Christopher Cruz, CBS News, Washington.
Tickets for next year's reunion tour of the 90s Brit band Oasis went on sale in the UK early today. Correspondent Vicky Barker says you can guess what happened.
This deliriously happy Oasis fan managed to nab one of the small number of tickets released in Friday's presale.
I've just spent 30 minutes crying.
Within hours, some of those tickets were on resale sites for $8,000, more than 40 times their initial price. The band has warned that any tickets resold above their face value will be canceled. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
WTIC weather.
Clouds and breaks of sun today. It'll be rather humid with highs right around 80 degrees. Cloudy, warm and humid tonight with a low near 70. A couple of showers and a thunderstorm will move into the area after midnight. The best chance for a couple of showers and a thunderstorm is early in the day tomorrow. Variable clouds and humid otherwise, high 82. Mostly sunny and breezy with low humidity and a high of 77 for Labor Day. This is meteorologist Heather Zayer in the WTIC Weather Center.
In a moment, we've got Healthy Rounds with Dr. Anthony Alessi. for these stories and more, you can go to WTIC.com. I'm Morgan Cunningham, WTIC 1080 News.
At Radford Eye Center, we care about you and your vision first. Call or visit us today at 860-829-8939 or at RadfordEyeCenter.com to see what we can do for your eye care needs. We guarantee you'll see the difference.
We know life gets busy, but seeing a primary care provider regularly is essential to your health. Trinity Health of New England's primary care providers offer comprehensive preventive care, from regular checkups and screenings to addressing health concerns, all to help you stay healthy and get more out of life. Making an appointment is easy. Call 1-833-CU-NOW. That's 1-833-CU-YOU-NOW. Or visit trinityhealthofne.org/primary care.
16 years ago, I had weight loss surgery and it changed my life. I weighed 417 pounds.
DeBranson Davidson has lost more than 200 pounds since he turned to Hartford Healthcare for help. These days, he runs marathons, works out with his kids, and enjoys walking and traveling with his wife.
I want to be that guy who's 100 years old that says, I did it. If I can do it, you can do it.
For more info, visit whatwillyougain.org.
This is Healthy Rounds with Dr. Anthony Alessi. Sponsored by Hartford Healthcare, Radford Eye Center, St. Francis Hospital, Covaris, and Yukon Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Healthy Rounds provides general information regarding medical conditions and diseases. The information is not intended to create a doctor-patient relationship. You're encouraged to consult your own medical provider for advice that applies to your own medical care. And now, Dr. Anthony Alessi on WTIC News Talk 1080 and WTIC.com.
Welcome to Healthy Rounds, the show that provides you with up-to-date medical information, and we answer all of your health questions. I'm your host, Dr. Anthony Alessi, and it's great to be with you back live on this Saturday, August 31st. As many of our regular listeners will know, we've been broadcasting previous interviews over the course of the past several weeks while I've been traveling through Europe. And my wife and I toured Europe and went to several different countries. And I want to share with you a lot of the observations we had, both positive and negative. And you know, you always look at comparisons between whatever country you're in and the United States. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, we don't have a guest today because I thought this would be a good opportunity to really catch up on a lot of the emails I've received and some of the topics that have come up. We've had questions about stiff person syndrome, listeria, Mpox, COVID is back. So we'll be chatting about those things. But as I mentioned, we've been traveling through Europe, and it's just interesting to look at the different lifestyles. So some of the global things we noticed, and we were in Belgium, Germany, we're in Denmark, and as well as Amsterdam in the Netherlands. And a few things we picked up on. First of all, from a positive standpoint, they are much more focused on the environment. And when I mention that, for example, you'll never see plastic utensils somewhere. Their disposable utensils are made of a very thin kind of balsa wood that you used to use for modeling as a kid. So utensils are one thing. I never saw styrofoam anywhere. And you rarely, if ever, saw even a plastic bag if you went to a store. People are in the habit, much like we are here, of carrying your own bags. There are those things. Also, train travel, mass transportation is very big in these countries, whether it be buses, trams, or trains. We traveled by train. We never rented a car and went from country to country by train. And I have to say it was extremely comfortable, very relaxing, and on time. And we took a lot of trains going between all these various countries and back to London. And we were just impressed by train travel. So again, They're doing their best to get vehicles off the road and having more people travel and getting more efficiency based on any pollution that's produced. Now, some of the other things we noticed, one of them quite striking, is smoking. Smoking is permitted in a lot of places. We saw a lot of vaping as well. But I was shocked that I was in a restaurant, went to the restroom, and as I went to the restroom, I saw a cigarette machine. I can't think of the last time I saw a cigarette machine. It had a big, you know, the label on it. Many of our listeners will remember that. I don't know the younger people will, but, you know, it had a Winston thing on there. And, you know, you remember you used to pull the lever and the pack of cigarettes came down? Well, they had one there and it was functional. So people in Europe still smoke. And that's directly opposite what we're seeing here. Our cancer rates are down here in the United States since we've restricted where people can smoke. And in fact, this week, yesterday, was the last day that cigarettes will be sold at Stop and Shop, at all their stores. So again, we have made much bigger strides from a health standpoint in that regard. One of the things with respect to health, though, on the opposite side is, again, in Europe, they have a lot of cyclists, especially in Amsterdam, especially in Copenhagen. These places, these countries really have very designated areas for cycling. I mean, they have their own curbs, their own lanes, and they are, it's an efficient way of getting places. For example, at a train station, you will see literally thousands of bicycles logged, you know, just piled up. They go in several tiers. So we spoke to one gentleman who was locking up his bicycle. He had a big backpack on, and he was explaining, yeah, he's locking up his bicycle, and he's going to be away for a week, and he'll come back and get back on his bicycle. So I think that contributes to people being in better health from the standpoint of weight and overall health and reducing pollution. The downside of that is they don't wear helmets. I don't think I saw any commuter wearing a helmet. Now, it's interesting because the people who are doing it for sport, who are on the racing type bikes, are always wearing a helmet in Europe. But the commuters are not. And in fact, we met a woman from North Carolina who went on a bike tour and asked to wear a helmet. They have helmets there. The bike tour leader called her a loser for wearing a helmet. I hope that impacted his tip at the end of the trip. But so they don't feel it's necessary to wear a helmet. One of the reasons they give is because they feel that it's safer because they have such designated areas. We're also reminded by the tragedy over 2 days ago of a wonderful young hockey player and his brother who were cycling on the side of the road and were struck by a drunk driver, ending his all-star career as a hockey player. So these are some of the things you take away. And I'm sure everybody does the same thing when you go visit another city. You start seeing something. Geez, why don't we have that here? Or I bet we could do that here. And so I think that we've made great strides from that standpoint. The downside, when we look at the overall health of our country, is our life expectancy is the lowest when you put us in the category of wealthy English-speaking nations. Canada, Ireland, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, on average, they all live longer than their American counterparts. For example, in the United States, for men, the life expectancy is 76.5 years on average, and for women, it's 81.5 years. In Australia, women live nearly four more years than the average man, and men lived an average five more years than they do in the United States. Yet we spend more money on health care than any of these countries. So that is telling us something. And it's not, this is not a political spiel where one party's doing, nobody's doing their job. Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you're just not doing your job if your the people who vote for you are dying sooner than they should based on the investment you're making. So it's something that we need to keep in mind as citizens and really bring to the forefront as we get ready for this upcoming political season. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to be back. I'm going to talk about Dr. Herman Helmholtz and this day in medicine commemorating his birth in 1821. And I want to spend some time talking about the impact he has had today on the field of medicine. If you wish to reach out to me, you can get me at info@alessimd.com. Just email me. I'm looking at it now live on the air, and I'll be happy to answer any of your general health questions things that have come up and are on your mind. You're listening to Healthy Rounds on WTIC News Talk 1080.
The law firm of Brown, Painderas & Scott wish you a safe and happy Labor Day weekend.
You did not go into healthcare to deal with liability claims, changing regulations, cybersecurity, or financial threats to your hospital or practice. You went into healthcare to help people and to make a difference. When you choose Covaris, you benefit from a company that is dedicated to helping you anticipate, identify, and manage risk, so you're free to focus on patients. Through its underwriting affiliate, ProSelect Insurance Company, Covaris can protect you with flexible coverage that addresses the expanding complexities of healthcare and can tailor a program for your particular needs. Find out how Covaris can help improve outcomes for you and your patients at Covaris.com. That's Coverys. Or click on our sponsor ad on the Healthy Rounds webpage at WTIC.com.
The Red Sox are in Detroit to face a tough Tigers team.
In the right field!
Connor Wong, Jared Duran, and company look for continued success on the road tonight at 6:10, right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
UConn fans, when it comes to sports injuries, do you know where the Huskies go?
UConn Health, Connecticut's public academic medical center. Our doctors advance research and train future generations of healthcare experts.
All while offering the latest in injury prevention, treatment, and performance improvement for athletes, for everyone.
When it comes to UConn athletics, our physicians are their physicians and should be your physicians too.
Make their doctors your doctors.
UConn Health. Learn more at health.ucon.edu.
Feel like everything's clouded by doubt? Visit californiapsychics.com. Our psychics are available to talk 24/7, and we guarantee if it's not life-changing, it's free. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Smokey the Bear.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
From the Carter Mario Injury Lawyer Studios, visit GetCarter.com.
That's GetCarter.com. This is Healthy Rounds.
We're back on Healthy Rounds. I'm your host, Dr. Anthony Alessi. And as I mentioned, if you wish to reach out to me during this hour at info@alessimd.com, we are monitoring that and we will follow. This day in medicine, August 31st, 1821, is when Dr. Herman Helmholtz was born. Dr. Helmholtz was a German physician, and much of his research was done on the study of the eye. Now, in addition to being a physician, he was a physicist, and in 1850, he is credited with discovering the ophthalmoscope. Now, his was a very simple device, but an ophthalmoscope is what we use to look in your eye. Your primary care physician uses one. Neurologists use one. If you go to an ophthalmologist, they use a very sophisticated one where they dilate your eye and are able to look into the back of the eye, the retina and the optic nerve. So in 1850, he came up with a mirrored type of system where he can really look into the back of the eye. And that led him to really describing the anatomy of the eye and spending time with theories of vision and visual perception. He came up with the theories of optics accommodation on how our eye, your iris changes and the pupillary changes when you're looking at something. But what caught my attention was something I didn't know. And that's the beauty of doing this program is as I research it and I listen to people and get topics, I'm always coming across something I didn't know previously. And that is in 1849, he was the first person to measure the speed of conduction across a nerve fiber. Now, this is something I do every day in terms of doing nerve conduction studies and needle electromyography. So in 1849, it was believed then that the conduction across a nerve was immeasurable. By conduction, we mean how fast does a nerve carry an impulse between two points? So that if that nerve is injured, compressed, crushed, cut, it will be reflected in that conduction. What we do today, nerve conduction studies. So what he did was, and this is something many people have done in a laboratory, which is a dissected frog and took the sciatic nerve, right, large nerve going to muscle, and he measured an electrical stimulus put into the nerve at one point to another with a galvanometer. And he calculated that the normal velocity was between 24.6 and 38.4 meters per second. Now, even with this rudimentary piece of equipment that he created to do this, those numbers are not far off from what we find to be normal today in terms of that range, maybe slightly quicker. So he really was the first person to do electrodiagnostic studies on peripheral nerves. And what we do today, as I mentioned, electroneuromyography, nerve conduction studies, coupled with another test called an EMG, where we put a pin into muscles to look at how the muscle works. His studies also led him to do a lot on muscle metabolism and how muscles work. Now, taking his study and going fast forward, there was an article I came across on a swimmer named Jamal Hill. Mr. Hill was an accomplished swimmer, a collegiate swimmer, when his performance started to decline unexpectedly. And his coach noted that. And finally, he went and was evaluated and was found to have a condition called Charcot-Marie-Tooth disease, CMT. Now, CMT, I almost feel like it's a misnomer calling it a disease because it's really a condition that makes the peripheral nerves different. Usually seen in adolescence and early adulthood, as was the case with Mr. Hill, where the nerves in the hands and feet do not function properly, both the sensory and motor nerves. And the reason is because there is a change, a genetic change, in the type of insulation around the nerve. There are two parts of the nerve, much like an electrical wire. If you look at an electrical wire, right, you have insulation on the outside, and then you have a copper part or metal part inside. So the insulation part of a nerve is called the myelin, and the inner part is called the axon. So basically, CMT, or Charcot-Marie-Tooth, is a condition that primarily affects the insulation around the nerve. There's a second type that affects actually the axon part of the nerve. So people present with atrophy, loss of muscle bulk in their hands and feet. We used to say that if you looked at someone's feet or lower extremities with a neuropathy or peripheral neuropathy, it would look like an inverted champagne bottle, where it'd be narrow at the base and wider as you got up. And there, as I mentioned, there are many variants. It's a condition that runs in families. It's autosomal dominant, meaning that it's not related to the X or Y chromosome, and you've got a 50-50 chance of getting it. One of the interesting features of a patient with this is they have very high arches, and their toes are hooked down, like we used to call hammer toes. And that's often a sign of this condition. Now, another point is that with CMT type 1, it's so mild, many people don't know they ever had it. I mean, just think about it. If you could never feel the ground as well as someone who's normal, you don't know that it's abnormal, right? So people went through life, and as long as they didn't have an occupation or something that really stressed using this, they just went on with their life, and it did not limit their ability to ambulate or perform certain tasks. Obviously, in the case of Mr. Hill, when you're a competitive athlete, any muscle wasting or loss of muscle bulk will be a problem. One of the other signs, and when you think about it, is your ability to feel the ground, right? So when you need to keep balance, in order to keep balance, you need three things. You need your inner ear, right? That balance mechanism in your ear. You need vision, so you can get visual cues looking at the walls and where you are in space. And you need sensation in your feet. You need to be able to feel pressure in the ground to keep your balance. Now, of those three things, some people, if you're blind, that doesn't mean you can't walk or you can't. You still have your other two. But once you get rid of two of those things, you have a problem. That's why I stress to people who have peripheral neuropathy, if they're walking in a dark area, if they get up at night to go to the bathroom, they may have to find themselves holding on to the walls. Or if they go to a barbecue in the evening, it's dark, they're on an uneven surface, I stress to them the need for having a cane or some other ambulation, some other device to assist them with ambulation. Now, a lot of people, when you hear the word peripheral neuropathy, people think right away of diabetes because it's such a common cause of peripheral neuropathy. But getting back to Mr. Hill, what was interesting was that instead of simply ending his career, he was able to shift over and start competing as a Paralympian. And he is in the Paralympics now. When we think of the Paralympics, right away we are thinking of, you know, people who are paralyzed. But again, this is an area of competition for people who have a lot of different physical challenges. So with that, we're going to take a short break now, and then we're going to be back. I've got several questions about weight loss drugs. People have asked about how I approach consultation. I want to bring everybody up to speed on COVID. And we also had some questions about listeria. So we're going to get to those. If you wish to reach out with a question for me, you can get me at info@alessimd.com. You're listening to Healthy Rounds on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Summer is here. which means pool days, beach trips, and yeah, you guessed it, traffic jams. Oh yeah, and heat waves. Don't let summer catch you by surprise. Get the local news you need, no matter what you're up to, with the free Odyssey app. And never miss a beat with alerts on breaking stories sent directly to your phone. Listen today on the free Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And now, a WTIC news update.
11:30, Hartford temperature 74 degrees. I'm Morgan Cunningham, WTIC 1080 News. We start with breaking news. Rapper Fat Man Scoop is dead following a medical emergency he suffered during his performance last night at the Hampden Town Center Park. He was 53 years old. State police are looking for the driver of what's being called a little white Honda that struck and injured a driver standing outside the Tesla that he parked on the side of I-91 southbound in Cromwell near exit 21 last night after 8. This as troopers continue their stepped-up traffic enforcement for the long Labor Day holiday weekend. They've issued 187 speeding violations since Friday morning at midnight. New Haven police arrest 22-year-old Robert Cardone in connection with a bomb scare near the federal courthouse on Orange Street. Town officials in Oxford are targeting Thursday, September 5th, as the date to open schools, over 2 weeks after deadly and destructive flooding in town. And 7 U.S. troops are hurt in a raid with Iraqi forces while targeting Islamic State group militants that killed 15.
WTIC weather.
We've got some pretty nice weather on the way for this extended holiday weekend. As we head out of August and into September, temperatures generally top out right around 80 degrees, and that's where we're going to be for this afternoon as clouds break for some sunshine. It'll stay rather humid as well. Tonight, then, cloudy, warm and humid conditions are in store. We'll drop down to about 70 degrees, and a couple of showers and a thunderstorm will move into the area for the second half of the night and continue on into at least early tomorrow. For the most part, tomorrow afternoon should bring variably cloudy skies, lots of humidity, and a high of 82 degrees, and there is just a chance for another thunderstorm. Skies begin to clear tomorrow night. It'll be turning more comfortable with a low of 63, and then it's mostly sunny and breezy for Labor Day itself. We'll have low humidity and a high of 77. This is meteorologist Heather Zayer in the WTIC Weather Center.
And I'm Morgan Cunningham, WTIC 1080 News.
Need an eye exam, treatment for ongoing eye disease, or having trouble seeing things the way you should? This is Dr. Mary Gina Ratchford with the Ratchford Eye Center in Berlin. We invite you to call us and schedule an appointment with one of our five doctors. See the difference at RatchfordEyeCenter.com.
We know life gets busy, but seeing a primary care provider regularly is essential to your health. Trinity Health of New England's primary care providers offer comprehensive preventive care, from regular checkups and screenings to addressing health concerns, all to help you stay healthy and get more out of life. Making an appointment is easy. Call 1-833-CU-NOW. That's 1-833-CU-YOU-NOW. Or visit trinityhealthofne.org/primary care.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-511-3535. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider, 800-511-3535. That's 800-511-3535. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-511-3535.
WTIC celebrates 99 years on the air.
This is Dr. Anthony Alessi, and we're back on Healthy Rounds, and we're spending time just kind of catching up on this Labor Day weekend to answer some of your questions. Now, one of the questions I had that came in was, what was my feeling and what my thoughts about the use of weight loss drugs? and specifically the Ozempic, Wegovy, Zepbound, and medications like this. These are the so-called GLP-1 agonists. And to talk a little bit about how they work, they're originally designed for diabetes. So this GLP-1 enzyme, this drug increases the use of this enzyme, this peptide, that triggers the insulin release. So with that, when you increase insulin, you can then get better control of diabetes. What they found is that when people use this drug, they also, it served as an appetite suppressant and helped people lose weight. So many people are using it. My feeling is that it is really designed for people with obesity. First of all, I support its use when used in the proper context. Like any other medication, there are side effects. And you don't want to take medication that you don't need. The side effects here are primarily digestive, right? So it slows digestion overall. And from that standpoint, that's where it gives you that feeling of fullness. Where it's been most helpful are people with morbid obesity or extreme obesity who have other health issues. Now, for example, many people are waiting for surgery to be done. Surgery is much more difficult when someone is obese. So if it's elective surgery, often physicians are waiting and trying to get people to lose weight. These drugs are extremely helpful from that standpoint. I also find it interesting that it has and should continue to affect our joints, right? So the more weight you put on hips and knees, the more likely you're going to need those joints replaced. So if by losing weight, you can now avoid that, it's been that's a huge help. I find it interesting that I was talking to someone who's very astute in the stock market and reported that with the price coming down of these GLP drugs, the investments in joint replacement and the value of joint replacement companies has gone down because they're anticipating there'll be fewer joint replacements in the future as people lose weight. Now, again, I said that this is for people who have obesity and really have these health implications. For others, I think it is reasonable to really make some significant lifestyle changes rather than just taking a medication. We're hearing about, Ozempic being the number one drug in Hollywood. I think many people report that and people who want to look better. But again, you really need to think about that. And while we're on the topic of activity, they've really found that a recent study that was done in the British Journal of Sports Medicine looked at women who have not been physically active were 40% more likely to experience falls when they got into their 70s. So specifically, they looked at this in Australia. They looked at 11,700 people with an average age of 54. And they did this longitudinal study where they followed these people, these women, over an extended period of time for actually approximately 18 years. And these were all women born between 1946 and 1951. And what they found were that women who remained active in middle age, so in their 40s and 50s, were less likely to suffer falls. And that is something that we have found here in this country as well. Now, that doesn't mean, and I like to stress this, that just because you didn't exercise in your 40s and 50s, that, okay, it's over, I'm at higher risk. There's always a good time to start exercising. And by that, I mean walking. But also, as we get older, start performing activities that require us to use our balance. So again, people who are doing Tai Chi and yoga, again, these are great activities, even as we get older, in order to preserve our ability to ambulate effectively and avoid falls. Obviously, it's those falls that lead to head injuries, broken hips, and lengthy hospitalizations. So we want to avoid that. One question I had was, when I see a patient, what is the number one thing I'm looking for? I'm often asked to consult on patients. These are patients who have either seen other doctors and are coming for a second opinion, or someone who might have a particularly challenging condition that they wish for me to see. So when I approach these patients, I try to take a fresh look from the beginning. And the most important part is to sit and take a careful history. Because what I find is that often people will pigeonhole a diagnosis. For example, someone who presents with a condition may have a past history of alcohol abuse or alcohol use. And right away, they're pigeonholed, well, this must be related to alcohol. Well, guess what? People who drink a lot also get other conditions that are unrelated to that. So when I'm seeing a patient, I really like to take a wide breadth of their history, their examination, and really look at it in detail. Now, I have the good fortune of working at institutions where they let me take as much time as I need to get to the bottom of something. As many people are experiencing now in medicine, you have to see a certain number of patients. Physicians and other providers are forced to keep volume up. That's just a sign of the times. Unfortunately, in neurology, and especially with the patients I see, you don't have that luxury. And I am fortunate because I'm not in a situation where I'm forced to work quickly, come up and get a certain number of patients in every day. And I am very grateful for that, and I am mindful of that. So with that, I wanted to give you some idea of what kind of approach I take when I'm seeing patients and when I go from day to day in my work. One of the other questions that came up was about Listeria and the Listeria infection or the spread of Listeria most recently in deli meats. I talked about this several shows ago, but it's actually become amplified right now. The statistics are that 57 people have been hospitalized, 9 people are dead, all because of infected deli meat produced at a particular plant. I can't emphasize enough the importance of safety in our food supply. And it's important as a government, and when I say government, I'm talking about all of us listening, the taxpayers, to make sure that our food supply is safe. Listeria monocytogenes is the bacterium involved, and it is the most deadly form of food poisoning. From that type of infection. So it's very important. It's still out there. I know that many news broadcasts have given people the lot numbers and things that should be destroyed. These are typically packaged meats that were produced by the Boar's Head Company. So again, please keep that in mind with the Listeria story, and we will be following up. I also wanted to mention that next week my guest is going to be Dr. David Banik. He is the Director of Infectious Diseases at the University of Connecticut. And we have a lot of questions for him, not only the listeria, but COVID, as we're getting ready for COVID. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that after the break, as well as Triple E, Eastern Equine Encephalitis and Western Equine Encephalitis, as we hear at this season about people who are becoming afflicted with those conditions and paralyzed as a result of those conditions. We're going to take a short break. Then we're going to be back for our final segment of Healthy Rounds. You're listening to Healthy Rounds on WTIC News Talk 1080.
The law firm of Brown, Painteris & Scott wish you a safe and happy Labor Day weekend.
You did not go into healthcare to deal with liability claims, changing regulations, cybersecurity, or financial threats to your hospital or practice. You went into healthcare to help people and to make a difference. When you choose Covaris, you benefit from a company that is dedicated to helping you anticipate, identify, and manage risk, so you're free to focus on patients. Through its underwriting affiliate, ProSelect Insurance Company, Covaris can protect you with flexible coverage that addresses the expanding complexities of healthcare and can tailor a program for your particular needs. Find out how Covaris can help improve outcomes for you and your patients at Covaris.com. That's C-O-V-E-R-Y-S. Or click on our sponsor ad on the Healthy Rounds webpage at WTIC.com.
Crappy radio signal? Then listen to WTIC on the free Odyssey app.
16 years ago, I had weight loss surgery and it changed my life. I weighed 417 pounds.
DeBranson Davidson has lost more than 200 pounds since he turned to Hartford Healthcare for help. These days he runs marathons, works out with his kids, and enjoys walking and traveling with his wife.
I want to be that guy who's 100 years old that says, I did it. If I can do it, you can do it.
For more info, visit whatwillyougain.org.
WTIC News Talk 1080. The more you listen, the more you know.
UConn fans, when it comes to sports injuries, do you know where the Huskies go?
UConn Health, Connecticut's public academic medical center. Our doctors advance research and train future generations of healthcare experts.
All while offering the latest in injury prevention, treatment, and performance improvement for athletes, for everyone.
When it comes to UConn athletics, our physicians are their physicians and should be your physicians too.
Make their doctors your doctors.
UConn Health. Learn more at health.ucon.edu.
It's time to clear the shelters. Since we started 10 years ago, NBC, Telemundo, and you have helped over 1 million pets find their forever families. Let's make our 10th year the biggest yet. Are you ready to find your new best friend? If you want to help but can't adopt, your donations can go a long way. Adopt or donate today. For more information, head to nbcconnecticut.com/clear the shelters. Brought to you in part by WTIC News Talk 1080.
We're back on Healthy Rounds for our final segment. You'll notice in upcoming weeks, we're making our schedule changes. UConn football begins today. They're playing on the road. And as you know, myself and my daughter Stephanie cover UConn home games. Fortunately, I've been able to defer to her for the noon start game, so I'll mostly be working the games that are later in the day as they come up. As I mentioned, Dr. David Banik is going to be our guest next week. But one of the questions I had, with the rise in the number of COVID cases, is it time to start wearing masks? I've discussed this before, and now that the number is going up again, I think it's time to think about that. Myself and my wife use them intermittently. As I had mentioned before, there are certain what we call choke points where a lot of people are congregating at one time. So, for example, getting on a train, getting off a train, getting on a plane, getting off a plane, going through TSA, things like that. It's worth just taking that mask out of your pocket and putting it on in terms of giving yourself some protection. in my office now. We have changed over specifically to my practice, where we ask patients to mask, and myself and my assistants also mask. And that is because the numbers are going up. And when we're seeing patients, we're generally with them for a full hour or more. It's interesting that none of the patients have said, I'm not going to do it, or I'd rather not do it. So we've had a lot of compliance, actually more compliance now than I think during COVID. With that, we've not had any complaints from that. And we're starting to see the numbers go up because more people are indoors now. Right. So we're not outside as much. And we're going to see that. Now, all the expectations are that with the immunity that's gradually built up over the years, that even these new variants of COVID are not the deadly form that we faced early on in 2020. And from that standpoint, we're not expecting a tremendous rise in the number of hospitalizations or emergency room admissions. But by the same token, it's no fun to be sick with this illness, especially if you're a child, if you're over the age of 65, or if you have an immunologic condition. So with that, there are vaccines available that have been approved and tested, both by Pfizer, Moderna, as well, and today, Novavax. With that, we expect that we should be getting a COVID booster. I certainly plan on getting it, and members of my family, especially because we're around patients. The other thing to know is testing kits will be available at the end of September. So the federal government will mail out 4 testing kits, new kits, to each home of people who apply. You just fill out a form with your name and address, and they're distributed by the Postal Service. Also of note is these tests have an expiration date. So if they are expired, get rid of them, because the results will not be reliable. You can also go on the site for the CDC to find out what the expiration dates truly are. Some of them were given a little bit too much sooner than they should have, so you can get that clarified. But we're going to talk more with Dr. Banik next week about COVID. One of the other questions I've had has been relation to pandemic and epidemic. Now, I understand that regular listeners to WTIC certainly have a political slant, and sometimes the questions come in with a variety of terms that are thrown out there, and deception and distortions and whatever. But what I try to do is filter down in the question and find a question in there that would be useful to all our listeners. In this particular case, I think the question really is, what can we do to prepare for the next pandemic? And what have we learned from COVID? You know, we've learned a lot over the years. It's not just COVID. Don't forget, at one point, tuberculosis accounted for 25% of all U.S. deaths. Something we don't see in this country, but we are still seeing it in India and other countries. So we have a lot of experience that I think that we acted upon during COVID. We're going to face this again in the future. But around the world, we're seeing problems. Right now, I just heard we have cases in Gaza of polio, because no vaccines for newborn infants have been able to get through the blockade. So I do understand that for the next 3 days or so, they're going to be able to get vaccines in so that we can vaccinate these children against polio. Some of you who are listening to this program are old enough, like myself, to remember people with polio in this country. So these vaccinations are important. Childhood immunizations worldwide and in the United States are down, right? because somebody put out a paper that was false and proven to be false time and again that a vaccine caused autism. And we've had people who have a particular bias in terms of being against vaccines. Our upcoming election that's going to be a big factor. I know the people have other features, but for me, the vaccine is key because that has saved more lives in the world than any other progress we've made in medicine, especially with messenger RNA. So in preparing for our next epidemic, I think we have good tools with messenger RNA that we can adapt to producing effective vaccines for everyone and hopefully save some lives. So with that, I think that we need to keep those things in mind. And sometimes, as I could see from this email, we do things out of precaution that we subsequently don't find to have been effective. So some people are saying social distancing wasn't effective. I think it was. I think it stands to reason that it was. And I think that you'd have a hard time disproving the fact that social distancing in a respiratory condition is helpful. And that's why you would wear a mask. But anyhow, with that, we really want to stay on top of this. Another question that came up to me was, what is stiff person syndrome? I think that came up when Celine Dion who suffers from this condition, was able to sing at the Olympics. Stiff person syndrome, and I'm going to try and get, maybe we'll get our friend Dr. Bernardo Rodriguez on to talk a little bit about it. But it's a rare disorder where people have antibodies that block the enzyme that produces the chemical that allows us to relax muscle. So these people get tremendously painful muscle spasms and really disabling from that standpoint. In closing, there was a story in the newspaper today that I read about a Wells Fargo worker went to work in Tempe, Arizona, and went to work in a cubicle there. I don't know what it is exactly that she did. But the lady passed away in that cubicle and wasn't found for 4 days. And I just found that to be so sad because there was no one looking for her, right? There was no spouse, no children, no family looking for this woman for 4 days after she checked into work. And it brings to mind that we do have an epidemic right now in this country, and it's an epidemic of loneliness. People have become increasingly isolated on their phones and on their iPads, and they're not getting outside and talking to their neighbors, their friends, their family. It's that interaction, that social interaction that is so important for life. And I think that if I leave you with anything today, it is to remember that. And then this holiday weekend, if we get some good weather, get out, walk, say hello to people, say hello to your neighbors, have a conversation, okay? Because that is so important for our overall health. Many thanks to Joey Burgoyne. Joey's been on the board for us today. And as always, Jeff Chandler's in charge of sales and marketing for Healthy Rounds. Next week, as I mentioned, Dr. David Banik is going to be on with us. So if you have questions for Dr. Banik, who is a specialist in infectious disease, get them to me at info@alessimd.com. Next up on WTIC is going to be Law Talk with attorney John Matulis. Until next week, this is Dr. Anthony Alessi. Please stay healthy.
This has been Healthy Rounds with Dr. Anthony Alessi, sponsored by Hartford HealthCare, Rachford Eye Center, St. Francis Hospital, Covaris, and UConn Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Be sure to tune in next Saturday morning at 11 for more Healthy Rounds on WTIC News Talk 1080 and WTIC.com. Till then, stay well.
We know life gets busy, but seeing a primary care provider regularly is essential to your health. Trinity Health of New England's primary care providers offer comprehensive preventive care, from regular checkups and screenings to addressing health concerns, all to help you stay healthy and get more out of life. Making an appointment is easy. Call 1-833-CU-NOW. That's 1-833-CU-NOW. Or visit trinityhealthofne.org/primary care.
When it comes to your vision, we aim for precision. At the Radford Eye Center, no detail is overlooked, so we can provide you with the best care we can. Care that includes respect and courtesy for you as an individual. I am Dr. Mary Gina Radford. Our center offers eye exams using the latest testing and treatment delivered